What's up, campers? Welcome to another episode of Tales of the Trails, a podcast where three scouts talk about their adventures in the wilderness. I'm Aditya. I'm here with AJ and Andrew. And on today's episode, we're going to go a little bit off the beaten track. We're going to take it a little bit away from wilderness and camping and talk more about leadership and how that's played a role in our lives and our scouting journey.
Before we get into today's episode, we'd just like to remind you to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Trails Podcast, and to subscribe to us wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, in case you forgot, now we upload one episode a week on Sunday, so make sure you mark that on your calendars.
And that's just so that we can provide quality episodes for you. Also, we love making this podcast, and we hope that you love listening to our podcast, but we can only do this with your support. Constantly listening and supporting is one way, but you guys can also become monthly subscribers and help us out in that way.
And now, a quick word from our sponsor, Anchor.
Okay, so leadership is a really big part of our troop. The three of us are Boy Scouts, as you probably know by now, and we've been Boy Scouts for most of our life. And so leadership has always been something that we've seen firsthand, that we've been part of firsthand, and that we've been learning as we go. The Boy Scouts of America, now formally called the Scouts of America, is run by the boys. Run by the Scouts. That's what it's called. It's a scout-run troop. However, there is adults because we don't want a national organization to turn into the Lord of the Flies. So adults are really there to just make sure that nobody dies and that everything stays within legal limitations. But at the end of the day, it's the scouts that are making the decisions, the scouts that are leading and teaching. So leadership really is such a huge part. But before we kind of jump into like some of the leadership skills we've learned and the importance of leadership, AJ is going to describe to you what leadership looks like in a Boy Scout troop. So AJ, take it away.
Yeah, so this is just to give you some background about how the troops kind of run, and you might get a picture of how we kind of learn the leadership skills and get the experience of leadership. So we have a troop, so there's about 40 scouts in this troop. We would break them down into smaller troops called patrols. And it's just an easier way to handle and to organize all the scouts and make sure everyone gets the attention that they deserve. So running the troop is the senior patrol leader, or SPL, and they help with all the planning and the organization and everything. And he has two people below him, the assistant senior patrol leaders, and they kind of report to him and help him with the day-to-day kind of stuff. Below the, so the two ASPLs split responsibilities. One ASPL will work with the patrol leaders, and these are individual scouts that are kind of the leaders or the lesser SPLs for each individual patrol. And they talk with the patrols. They can help organize if patrols want to do something by themselves. And if people in that patrol have concerns, they can bring it up to their patrol leader and it can go up the chain of command. The other ASPL handles other leadership positions like historians, chaplain's aide, the librarian, and the scribe, and all the other positions of leadership that are kind of necessary for a troop to function. And it kind of all like trickles down into smaller branches for the troop. And if it works properly, it allows everybody to have a voice in the troop. And it's just a way that the troop should hopefully function smoothly.
Yeah, I think it's really hard to describe and try and get you to envision what this like, what this looks like. But if you have proper people and proper scouts running each position, a troop is going to work like a well-oiled machine. But you don't want to have any kinks in the chain.
But that's never going to happen. Because
right, there's always
one in a million chance, because everyone here is going to do their own thing. It's going to become this organized mess of chaos. And
but I think that's what defines your leaders, is how they react to situations like that, because you're never going to meet a crew that's going to all agree. There's always going to be one or two people or many people that don't agree with you. And I think what defines a leader is how you react to situations like that. Are you going to butt heads, or are you going to find a way to collaborate? Are you going to back down, or are you going to keep moving forward? Right. So leadership is something that is so kind of imprinted on us, because we have it all around us. We see it all around us. And I think I said earlier, adults don't play a huge role in the decision-making process, but they play a massive role in the way that they're role models for all of us. And I think I do want to spend a little bit of time on that, is how leaders, the adult leaders, are role models for us. So I guess, Andrew, what's your take on that?
I would say that's kind of true and kind of not true. I think it varies to leader to leader, but I think, I don't know, maybe it's just a personal thing that I don't really kind of look up to people besides myself.
Oh boy.
I would say AJ? That in our troop, especially, we've been spoiled by the great adult leaders we've had. If, say, we're packing for a camping trip, we forget something, we don't put something on the grocery list, like, the leaders aren't going to let us starve. They're not going to let us forget, like, a really vital piece of camping gear. So, in a way, like, short term, that's good, and they're doing some good for us. But also in the long term, it might also hinder us, because we don't learn to, we don't pay the consequences for getting a piece of gear. So we might just be kind of lenient in the future. But I think overall, they really just help us out in the best way possible. And what a lot of people might not understand is that all of our leaders, they're all volunteers. They do this because they love camping, they love scouts, and they like helping us do all the things that we can do.
Right. I think I personally owe everything to my scout leaders. They've helped me through so much. And it's like when I put that uniform on and I kind of tie up my neckerchief, it's like the sense of honor and pride that just rushes into me. So I feel like the way that my scout leaders have kind of rubbed off on me, I don't think I could have gotten that anywhere else. I don't think I could have gotten that at a school club or with a teacher after school or anything like that. I think Scouts has really left a mark on me. And it's a good mark in that way. But
unless you forget the coffee maker in one of the trips, then they're not very
helpful. Then it's game over. Yeah. But I think, the leaders do spoil us a little bit. They're amazing. They spend so much time making sure everything's perfect, and they don't want to see any of us fail. And so that level of dedication as a volunteer to a bunch of kids you don't know, but that you get to know over time, it's just, it's unparalleled, and it's unexpected. They do it.
Especially I'm working on getting my Eagle, and I'm getting a lot of help from them, which is actually kind of surprising. I was not expecting this much help at all. I was like, this is ridiculous. But right, it's also been very helpful, because it's allowed me to get my extension and hopefully get my approval.
Did you get your extension?
Yeah, I did.
Congratulations. That's very good to hear.
Yeah.
Now get those dates. Get those work parties set up.
Yeah.
All right. I'd
like to add another thing, because the leaders, they are volunteers. And most of them, they're not just like random people that just sign up. They are parents of past scouts, and it shows you how the troop were kind of like a family in a sense, because even when these leaders, their kids, they age out or they eagle out and they go off, they're still there every Wednesday meeting, and they're there for camping trips because it is pretty much a family, and we're all there for each other's success. And you know, that does tie into leadership because it shows the dedication and the fact that they're there even when the reason they were there in the first place isn't there. So their commitment has evolved over time.
I'm just going to move along because I think we're going to start rambling on about how great our leaders are.
Andrew!
But I think we should go more specific. Like, what skills have we learned from them and just in general through other activities?
Yeah, maybe? I like that. From the leaders themselves, all of our leaders are really selfless. They don't take credit. They're very humble people. And I feel like that is such a good takeaway from them because it's something everybody can use. Is a little bit of humbleness and a little bit of kind of being down to earth. And I think if our leaders aren't down to earth with their flip phones, I don't know who is. But yeah, I really love their simplicity, their dedication, and their eagerness to jump in and help no matter what their situation is. Yeah. What about you guys?
For me, leadership skills I've learned is just, you got to be able to adapt to the chaos around you. Things aren't always going to work, mm-hmm. but how you react to them not working, that shows like that you're a good leader. Like, you know, no one's starting this. No one's doing this. This is how you can change, how you can make it work. That's pretty much what leadership is, isn't it not?
How are you going to get people moving?
Yeah.
One of the big things that I took away from just observing all of our leaders is that they come from a diverse set of backgrounds, and they've, like, throughout their life, they've had different experiences, and they've learned different ways and different forms of leadership. So it shows that not one way of leadership works. So, and you can combine different ways of leading people, and it's just shows that your way might not be the best way. It might work, but if you can combine all the different ways you've seen leadership happen, mm-hmm. you can combine it, and you can't have the advantage of seeing what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, I definitely agree to that. I think Boy Scouts and our troop is a melting pot of leadership ideals. I want to add one more skill that I've learned. I've got a ton because I've grown so much as a scout. But I think one of the most important things is not only being humble, but being able to listen. Because as a leader, if you can't listen to the people that you're leading, you're not going to get anywhere. If you start to clash heads with someone, in this case, you're a leader. So anything that you try and do alone is going to look bad, and you don't want to look bad as a leader. If you're not listening to your people, it's the people that define you, right? It's the people you lead that define you as a leader. So I think listening is such an important part about leadership. You need to understand what these people want or what these people need, whether it be what game they want to play or what they want to eat or what they expect to learn when they come to these Wednesday night scout meetings that we have. I just think being able to listen, being able to sit down. If someone tells you you're wrong, don't get defensive. Figure out what their point of view is, right? Just kind of like break that down.
I think we got a bit of time, so I think we might want to touch on some like what not to do as a leader. And I guess the first one would be, don't butt heads with other
people. Yeah. And maybe what not to do as a leader. Yeah, I think arguing, trying to like creating hostage situations where
Hostage
like
situations.
not including people, it's a general term. Hear me out. So you'll always come across something where like if you butt heads, it's like, well, if you don't listen to me, I'm not gonna make this happen for you. Right? That just creates animosity, that creates negativity and tension. And if you have a well-oiled machine as a Boy Scout troop, the last thing you want is tension. So, but leadership plays such a big role. And as a leader, if you're elected into this position by your fellow scouts, the last thing you want to do is diminish the honor and pride that comes with this position, by misrepresenting it.
Yeah, along those lines, it's remember that you're the guy up front. Everybody look towards you as the leader. You kind of represent the whole troop as well, or whatever you're ahead of as a leader. So remember that people are looking to you, and if you act a certain way, people might act that way in the future in that role, or just in general in the troop.
Yeah, even in present.
So you have to remember that all eyes are on you, and you have to act in a certain way that reflects the good actions and the right way to do things.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Well, those are some pretty good options.
What do you think about?
I think I got one more for you. So if you're a leader, you're gonna have you don't want to, create tensions and be a bad example. But I feel like as a leader, you don't want to be too laid back where you actually don't achieve anything. You know what I mean?
That's a very good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
But here, that's a balance issue. If you're too strict, no one's gonna like you, and everyone's gonna butt heads against you. But if you're too laid back, no one's gonna do anything, and nothing's gonna get done. And it's that kind of balancing act between, order, I don't know, a balancing act between laid back and structured. I think every leader has to have that balance or
Yeah.
something like that. And
Yeah, and
each leader might be different. They might be more laid back than ordered, or more ordered than laid back. But either way, is if they produce results, then they produce results.
well
Yeah, and
said. that's the leadership battle right there, is that trying that balance, because if you're too strict when you need to be laid back, people might be like, is he actually being laid back, or is he playing with us? If you're always laid back when you actually need to get work done and you need to be strict, people might not take you seriously, and they might not understand the severity of a certain situation.
I think that's an idea that I'm constantly reminded of is you got to know when to have fun and you got to know when you got to work. Because having fun is completely acceptable. It's normal. You should have fun. It shouldn't always just be work, work, work. But you got to have your balance. Sometimes it might not even be a balance. It might be more work than fun. It usually is, but it's super important to take that into consideration.
Yeah, just don't be all of one. Don't be all
Right.
laid back. Don't be all like
Exactly.
focused on work, because then you're gonna miss out on so many things, or you're gonna cause more problems than solving them if you're all one of those.
Yeah, and this is a more Boy Scout related concept, but I think being a good leader is something that relates to everybody. Even if you're not in a position of leadership, regardless whether it's student council, Boy Scouts, at work, I don't know how old you are listening to this, but being a good leader is so important because regardless of whether AJ is not in a very major position as a leader in the troop, but he still demonstrates amazing leadership qualities and he still is being a good role model. Same with Andrew. I am in a position of leadership. I think we're going to talk about whether I was a good SPL later in this episode. So we'll see if secrets come out. But just kind of focus on the things we've mentioned because we're under 18. Andrew just turned 18. And I think we've seen a lot about what leadership can look like, what leadership shouldn't look like, and what leadership should look like. So I think, yeah, just These are ideas that you can take into consideration regardless of what your age is.
Yep. And just real quick before we wrap up, I want to kind of what Addy said is that no matter what position you are, like you could be the most unimportant person in a business or you could be the CEO, but you still have that responsibility and you can still show leadership qualities and still be a good leader.
At the end of the day, leadership in your family, leadership in your friends, it all comes down to who you are as a person. Are you listening? Are you being constructive? Are you showing care? And are you being thoughtful? So I think that's what we're going to leave you with as we head into Andrew's segment.
Let's go.
Where Andrew goes, nothing grows.
Hey guys, welcome to my segment where I make a hot take or not so hot take and ask you guys a question. So for today's question is, what do you guys do when it rains on a camping trip? So let's, who wants to go first in this one?
I'll take it. Raining on camping trips. Well, we typically have we either have a central tent where we cook, if we're outdoors. But if we're tent camping, then we'll have like a central tent in the middle and there's a ring of tents around that. And then, we'll all like huddle under that or we'll all like go, like four of us will just go into one of our friends' tents and we'll all play cards or something. I remember one camping trip, Hail Reservation, we showed up and it was downpouring. It was like torrential downpour. And so we had to unpack, set up tents and everything in this weather. Actually, I think we made the call not to set up tents in this weather. And we were so blessed that they had a big pavilion. So we all slept there in just our sleeping bags. No tents were set up. We all huddled onto this rock of like the floor of the pavilion was all cement. So we're all sleeping on that for the night because of the rain, but we had to still get our gear there. So we did like I don't know what they're called, but like the bucket lines, like when there's a fire and they pass down buckets of water, that's how we transferred gear as quickly as we could into the pavilion. And it was just, I had such a huge adrenaline rush just because I love the rain, but it was so like hectic and everything because we were all trying to stay dry, but also get all of our stuff.
All right, I'm not quite getting a direct answer. So what do you do?
Okay. So what do we do? Yeah, my bad. I went off a tangent.
I'm gonna kick
when it rains, we play games in a covered area. There's your direct answer.
All right, you play games in a covered area. All right. For me, I usually sleep because I like sleeping in the rain. It's the most relaxing. All right, AJ.
When it rains for me, my goal is to stay dry. That's about it. How I occupy myself, we just usually just huddle in someone's tent, you know, play some cards, or if we have one of the pop-up tents, we'll pop that up and we'll like play Risk or something. So we just play games pretty much.
Sometimes I remember one of my camping trips we did, it was pouring and we did this thing where it was like four of us and we just took turns running out into the rain to a certain thing that we had to touch and then come back. And whoever was the least soaked by the end of it won. We were all pretty soaked. So it was a pretty stupid idea.
Like, you guys are out there running around in the rain. I'm over here getting
sleeping.
I'm getting my sleep in. I'm snoozing while you guys your nonsense.
Hey, nonsense rain. Is just another word for fun.
Yeah, fun. Have fun getting wet. You're right, AJ?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys heard my story about Salisbury Beach already. Like,
yeah.
You're very. I love the water.
You get prone to being soaked and
miserable. Yeah, soaked, miserable, and through really stupid ideas, but nonetheless fun in the moment.
So I guess our hot take is gonna be related to leadership for today. Is what's the best quality? Oh, we did the worst quality of leadership, but
yeah.
I think we'll just rehash the best qualities. So
best quality of leadership.
I'll go first.
Okay.
I think the best quality is someone who can be balanced in the way that they're laid back and also orderful or strictful. I think that's a good quality if they have the good balance between those things, because that means they're able to enjoy having fun with other people, but also not be like a pain because everyone wants to have fun and all that, you know? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I understand.
All right.
I like that.
I'll go next. And I'll say, in my opinion, the best or the most important leadership quality would be communication. And this is one I don't know if we've really talked about much this episode, but I think it's the most important quality you can have, because good communication is everything. If everybody's on the same page, things will work more smoothly. You can communicate about organization and stuff. And also, Addy mentioned one of the leadership skills he's learned is listening. That kind of goes along with communication. That's,
yeah,
if you can listen, that's a good, you're a good communicator if you can do that. And going down the whole line of listening is if you can pay attention. And there's like, also other than listening, is being able to speak and to, I guess, lead a crowd essentially and get their attention.
Being confident.
Hey, Joe, yeah. I'm getting is that a good quality is communication in general, from listening to communicating. Okay. Yes. All right. What about you, Aditya?
So I kind of agree with AJ. Andrew, you practically said kind of being an effective leader. AJ said being a very communicative leader. And I agree with AJ on that one. Is listening, to me, just listening itself is so important, because listening means you care. You care about what the people have to say. You care about what people need. And you're ready to take time to listen to them. I don't know if I'm good at that as a leader. If I'm not, that's something I want to get better at. If I am, that's something I want to keep doing, because listening in personally is so important. And listening and being collaborative, being able to work with other people.
So, Aditya, you're more of the listening, and are you a back? Are you basically So are you two guys just both focused on communication? Is that your main quality that you look
for? Well, I think without communication, you can't really get anywhere.
All right.
Working alone isn't going to get you much.
I agree with you. But
I mean, all the qualities are important.
Exactly.
I think that if you're lacking in communication, it makes it that much harder to be an effective leader.
Yeah, it hurts. Mm-hmm. Because I think if you aren't an effective leader, but you care enough to realize that, you can communicate it to other people. You can kind of take a step back and say, okay, I don't think I can do my job at this time. Can you help me? They will step in if they're a good leader as well. So,
and also having those skills, being able to explain what you need help in.
Or accept and then explain.
Yeah. Because you can explain the exact area that needs help, then it's mm-hmm. that much easier for people to help you and get things done.
Yeah, and I think accepting there is a problem, accepting that you are a problem, whatever it may be, accepting that a problem exists is so important as well. Might be my number one.
Yeah, we're in agreement here on that. Mm-hmm. Communication is probably number one, and then probably the balance of like work and play is probably
exactly two. If you have those two, you're a leader.
Yeah, those are probably like the balance, and then like communication. That's all you got to do to be a good leader, I guess. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know. I've only been in minor leadership positions, and
yet you still show these qualities day to day.
Yeah, because
whether you realize it or not, Andrew.
You know, I want to have fun. You know,
you do.
I don't want to.
I know, Andrew. I know.
All right. I think we'll move on to our bonus round that Aditya alluded to earlier.
Oh boy.
Of who is the better SPL? AJ or Aditya?
Who's the better SPL? We're just not gonna say like who was a good SPL. Oh boy, it's a war.
That would just turn into a roast session. So we're gonna keep it low key.
Well, here's the thing, Andrew, is if you're asking who's a better SPL, Aditya or AJ, Aditya and AJ cannot comment.
Yes.
So it's up to you, and you're about to start a war.
Yeah.
It's up to you, the viewer, so let us know in the comments.
Send us a voice message. What do you think? Who sounds like a stronger leader?
Honestly, you're both pretty good leaders compared to everyone.
No, for sure.
You both have proven yourself very useful.
But, thanks, Andrew.
And also very, I guess, like pushing the boundaries of what's new and bringing a good time, I guess.
Well, yeah, I'll vouch for, I guess, the both of us here. AJ is a very strong leader. He's taught me so much. I was one of his ASPLs. And I mean, even when I first joined the troop, he was part of the troop, but he was still like considered a younger scout. And he wasn't as strong of a leader then, but he kind of stepped up the ranks. And I mean, it's an emotional moment, but like, hell, he's taught me so much. So
yeah.
And like, I didn't know anything about this guy. We've only grown close in like the last 2, maybe 3 years. So I think, I've just learned a lot.
I don't think I could give an answer to this. This is like a really, because you're both really good leaders, I would have to say. I mean, you both have your problems. You might be a bit more strict at times when you probably should be more laid back. Okay. AJ, I don't know what he does. I found him very forgettable because I don't think he did much to create a good time, I guess. But neither did you. Although you tried. You give it the good old try, DTA. That's what you did.
Keep talking. Keep talking. You're digging yourself into a hole.
When I was SPL, unfortunately I missed a lot of meetings and camping trips due to some other prior commitments.
That's why I completely forgot your SPL.
Yeah, unfortunately, I regret that and not being able to be there for our troop. But I'd like to kind of talk about kind of Addy and him being SPL. And he was SPL 2 terms after me.
This is my first term being SPL.
We had a SPL in between, but he stayed on leadership and he kind of, I guess you could say, continue the torch, because when I had first started getting into leadership and when I became SPL, we were kind of really trying to rearrange the troop and change it up and diversify, like go different places for camping trips instead of going to the same places over and over again.
It wasn't only camping trips, AJ. Remember that summit we held?
Yeah, we had.
You want to talk about it?
I'll talk about it a little bit later. I just want to kind of finish my thought. But it was helpful for Addy. Like, this was him being ASPL when I was SPL. This was his first time in a senior leadership position. And it was good to see that he was just ready to go out there and attack his position. And he was very enthusiastic about helping out the troop and doing that. So it was good to see. And I was glad that he was able to keep that through the past couple terms and to really try to better the troop for others and not just himself. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can talk about the summer.
Yeah, I can talk about it. So what was it, 2 summers ago?
It was summer camp of 2018 or 2019.
Okay. So last summer, AJ and I, we sat down with the leader. So we sat down with 3 of our leaders and we basically talked about everything that we saw was wrong with the troop. AJ and I were the, AJ and I and one other scout, we were the 3, AJ being the SPL and then myself and one other scout being the 2 ASPLs. We were the big 3 of leadership. And when I was first elected into this, I came in with a full-blown agenda. It was like my first 100 days. I wanted to get so many things done. I wanted to see the troop kind of thrive. And there were so many things. It was from like bullying, inclusivity, all the way to like new camping trips and new meal plans. I had a whole agenda. And I showed it to the leaders and they were like blown away. And here's another thing we do while it rains. We had this conversation in a canvas tent under the pouring rain. It was about a 2-hour conversation. We were sitting on coolers, like ice boxes that held our food. And we talked about just what we want the troop to be and how we can fix it. AJ and I then planned two meetings, each about 2 hours long, with the first meeting being over, I think it was about 30 something people from scouts, parents, leaders, committee members, and scouts with leadership positions. And then the second meeting was more close. The first meeting was a talking point. We got to hear ideas, and this is where listening comes to play. I created like an anonymous survey thing, and I got people's feedback on how they thought the meeting went. And then I read through that, and the second meeting was our action meeting, because we didn't really come up with definitive points in our first meeting, but that second meeting, we got things done. And I think on AJ's behalf, it was a really, really strong way to start his term, to start our term, and to kind of bring some concrete change. And since then, the troop has had its ups and downs, more ups than downs, but you're never going to go on a straight up. You're going to have your bumps. And I think how you bounce back is all part of being a good leader.
About this the summit thing, and I'm actually surprised. Actually, I'm like, you know, maybe Addy and AJ, they're the ideal leadership for the troop at this point. I mean,
thank you,
Andrew. Who else is gonna do it, huh?
Yeah, it was really cool to see how Addy and I we were in this tent. It was raining. Most of our troop, they were over playing a game of Risk, and they were all getting really into it. And Addy and I were kind of just sitting there. Him and I, we just started talking about just like the troop, and like, I don't even remember what like we started
it
talking about.
It was a complete joke of a conversation. Yeah. Until you and I kind of just, we made it a little more sincere. I brought up some like a little bit deeper talking points, and then it just spiraled into something awesome.
And then it's just us, and then the leaders, we started talking to them a little bit because they were wondering like, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah. So the leader came over to me.
And then they got involved, and it was just a really good discussion. And that morphed into us being like, we see all these problems. We want to fix it. Let's include the entire troop, hear all the concerns, see all the bigger picture, all the smaller stuff that's going on, and really try to wrap our head around what's going on, and then get a plan of action and try to fix it and better everything.
I want to bring up a couple of things.
Yeah, that's just basically leadership is just, you got to find problems, not necessarily just look for problems, but you got to find ways to better yourself and your troop and everything, and every situation, because there's always ways to improve.
All right. I think we kind of get the point here.
I do want to add one thing, though.
All right. Last thing.
With this meeting, there were negatives. Some of my comments, one of them was just, this was a complete waste of time, right? But the at the end of this day is, I'm trying to help people. AJ was trying to help people, and the people that showed up were trying to help people. Clearly, one of the attendees did not like our ideas, did not like what we were doing. And as a leader, you need to be able to take that criticism. You don't need to address it. Don't address it at all, because it might just be negativity that's thrown out there so that you feel bad about yourself, so that you feel like you need to be taken down or that you need to take a break. And I think it's important that that negativity, that criticism is always going to be there, regardless whether you're rated the world's best CEO. Someone is going to be out there to get you, but just keep pushing.
That negativity just comes with the job and comes with the territory. Mm-hmm. And Andrew's all about his balance. So you got to find the balance of not letting the negatives keep you humble, but don't let the positives and all that just make your ego skyrocket. You got to find that balance, and it's really hard.
All right. Andrew, I know we're boring you, so take us.
Yeah. Should we move on to the next thing, or we just call it done here? Because this seems like a really good stopping point. But
yeah, that's a good stopping point. I like that. I like that we were able to bring that in.
Well, if you guys want to know the last point, it was why I don't do leadership positions. that's literally a personal reason. It's because I don't really enjoy leading people.
That's fair.
Andrew's a good right-hand man.
Yeah, like
he doesn't take the direct leadership force. but he's a very, you can count on him to do
so anything. AJ, they just heard us sweet talk ourselves, so why don't we sweet talk Andrew for a little bit?
Yeah,
I want to say one thing about Andrew is that he is very dependable.
He's like a Chevy truck, you know, he's depend sure. on it for years.
I hope none of you have had a Chevy truck that broke down, but Andrew is super dependable. He gives everything his 110%, from camping to rank advancement. I hope.
I am.
Good. But I think despite him never being in a leadership position, it's clear that he's observed things. And I think that's one thing that I've been able to see as a leader is that are impacted.
I was a patrol leader for a bit.
Okay. Even being patrol leader is, you still learn so much. I was patrol leader for 2 terms. And it all kind of like, it's like your staircase. And Andrew, maybe you're not at the top of your staircase yet, but none of us are, but I think your ability to be depended on, your humbleness, and kind of like that fire that's always burning inside you is going to be something that's going to carry throughout.
Andrew might have never really had a official leadership position, but he was always being a leader. Like they say, you can lead by example. Andrew was always being a very good example. If he was teaching the younger scouts different skills and stuff, he was still showing his leadership and he's still being a leader.
100%.
He just never had the official title.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was really good discussion on leadership.
All right. Last thing about why is also because, like, I never really enjoyed the public speaking bits, even though I'm doing
that this is podcast. That is always a major turnoff for people.
Yeah,
is public speaking. I love public speaking, by the way. I don't know if that is evident in the podcast that you're listening to, but I absolutely love getting in front of a crowd and just getting comfortable.
He likes to get his ego. He likes to get his ego.
Hey. but I think this was a really good discussion and I'm glad that we were able to have this. Before we move on, actually before we end this episode, the three of us would like to take a minute, and I hope I don't start crying. I feel it coming already. But this episode we talked about leadership for like the last 30 plus minutes. We talked about what a leader should be, how they should be dependable, they should listen, they should whatever, I can't even come back to it right now, but I don't think anything defines or anybody defines this definition of leadership like Dave Hayworth did. Now, Dave Hayworth is a scoutmaster. He will always be a scoutmaster. But unfortunately, what was it? This year, right? This year in
this February.
In February, he passed away due to a cancer that spread way too far. It spread. He was hit multiple times, and it's just so hard to talk about because he was such a big part of our lives, even if it was brief. Dave is an unforgettable person, and I say is a scoutmaster because I use the present tense because Dave ate, slept, and breathed scouts. You'll notice that the episode is called White Wolf, and that's in honor of Dave. That was his nickname, and he was a legend. He always will be. We named the Scout Hall after him, and it's so hard to talk about him, but like my chest is just like so inflated. Like I'm kind of freaking out right now, but
when us three, we were coming up with the idea for this episode, we wanted to dedicate this episode to him, and we wanted to make sure that we all want to make sure his legacy lives on because he just had that much of an impact on us, and it was really just the best example of a leadership that I think we've seen in our lives. He was just so strong, and he would will through everything and the pain just to come to a Wednesday meeting, and just he would the joy of just being with us and being with scouts, like scouts was his life. And We're glad that we were able to take part in his journey, and we're lucky that we were part of his journey.
Yeah, Dave Hayworth was a husband, a father, a teacher, a town member, an active town member, a scoutmaster, among many other things that I can't name right now. But and he did this all with the unbearable pain of cancer that many of us can't feel, that we can only feel emotionally. But Dave's loss really put things into perspective of how other people can, of how we should all kind of step up, because a loss like that is something that you can't just walk away from. It's a loss.
And how, like, sometimes a person that might be like a background character in your life can also be a pretty major, important person in your life as
well. Can have such a big influence without you even realizing it. Dave and I personally weren't that close, but when I read the email that he passed away, it was just like, this can't be real. Like, he can't, not so soon. I wanted him to be there at my Eagle Court of Honor. I wanted him to see me present merit badges every other Wednesday night, whatever that may be. And it's just, it's tough. And so this episode is in dedication to him, in dedication to his unparalleled leadership abilities and leadership skills, all with the pain that he felt. And it's just something that we're never going to forget as three teenagers with big dreams and big hopes ahead of us. This is kind of one of those, Dave is one of those building blocks in our life.
And you don't realize how big of an impact somebody like Dave will have on your life until the impact or the physical impact is gone. And we took stuff for granted. Like, in the moment, we might not have loved having 20-minute lectures where he said the same exact thing all the time. But at the end of the day, like, that was Dave, and we actually learned stuff from those. And, you know, we're going to miss him, and we're going to miss Dave. And it's just a hard thing to do, to say goodbye. But I don't think we're ever going to say goodbye to White Wolf. He'll always be with us in our lives and in our scouting journeys.
I think we're about done here, so I'm just going to leave off the last few words here. Thank you for your service, White Wolf. We hope you're doing well. We will see you next time on Tales of the Trails. So, yeah, bye.
Thank you, everyone. Goodbye.
Thank you all.